chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. We're going to read verses 32 through 39 together. Romans chapter 8, verses 32 through 39. Again, if you missed this morning's message, I challenge you, go online, get it. It's free. You can listen to it. And I'm going to just, in about 5 minutes, review 3 hours worth of material. What seemed like 3 hours worth, and then preach another 3 hours worth. But we'll get out of here. I promise you, I will crash the plane at 7 o'clock if we're not down. Amen. We'll just put her down in the field. But Romans chapter 8, verses 32 through 39. Follow with me responsively. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And let's pray. Father, we need you tonight. Holy Spirit, please, in about 40 minutes or so when we're done, I pray that your people would be able to rejoice in their salvation like never before. Lord, we think about it and we're thankful, but we don't think about all that goes with it. And I pray that tonight you'd get some praise and thankfulness from your people, that they would be able to love you more, and so that we could take it to other people so that they could be as happy in it as we are. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This morning, I preached part one. Again, I challenge you to listen to it if you did not hear it, or if you would just like to review it, because there's a lot of material. I call it the greatest package deal. Now, I'm not going to retell the whole introduction because I don't have time, but I gave an illustration of a couple that I knew that went on a cruise, and for the first 24 hours, they virtually didn't do anything other than go to the actual meals and walk around and look at things. They did not realize that all the little food stands and everything else was included in their ticket price. They didn't know the ice cream and the pizza and the pop and the juices and all the other things that were all the way around the ship. All those things and all the things to do were just part of it. They thought they had to pay extra for those things. Once it got explained to them after 24 hours, the next 6 days were great for them. They were eating like they were eating like Baptists, amen. And they just had a good time, but they didn't realize when they bought their ticket that so much was included with it. I say that to say this: when we get saved, we don't realize how much comes with our salvation. We think we don't go to hell and we get to go to heaven and our sins are forgiven and that's what we got at salvation. And I'm here to shout, literally shout, there's a whole lot more to it than just that. You got more at salvation than you know you got. There's a whole lot more to it than just getting saved. Or, as I said this morning, there's a whole lot more to salvation than fire insurance against hell and homeowners insurance in heaven. Now, there are 25 things that you got at salvation. I'm going to run through the first 13. I'm only going to list what those 13 things are. Say why? Because I have 12 more and I got 34 minutes. All right. So we got to hurry here and I've got to hurry. Number one, we get our sins forgiven. Number two, we get no condemnation. Number three, the Holy Spirit gives life to our dead spirit. Number four, we get eternal regeneration. Number five, the Holy Spirit indwells us. Number six, we get God's righteousness imputed to us. Number seven. Man, I want to preach on that one again. Hang on. Number seven, we get justified. Number eight, we will never be judged for our sin. Number nine, we get reconciled. Number 10, we get citizenship in heaven. Number 11, we get the adoption by God. Number 12, we get the sonship with Jesus Christ. And number 13, we become heirs of God and all that he has. Folks, if that's all you got an awful lot, but that's only the first half. Can I tell you something? By 7 o'clock tonight, we ought to have a room full of shouting Baptist people about the fact that they're saved and on their way to heaven. If you get discouraged in your salvation, something's wrong with you. You're looking at the wrong part of it. We have so much with our salvation. Now, those were the 13 points from this morning. Now, my voice is greased up. I'm ready to fly. I think I can keep you with me. Here we go. Number 14. Are you ready? We get to be friends with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of John, chapter 15, John chapter 15, verse number 14 and verse number 15, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I've command you. Henceforth I call not you servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Did you realize when you got saved, you get to be friends with God? Folks, I don't know about you. I love my friends. I love being with my friends. I enjoy being around my friends. You all are my friends. And I appreciate that. But may I say this? You not only get to be part of the family, you get to be friends. You know, I love my mom and dad, but my mom and dad are more than just my mom and dad. My mom and dad are my friends. Do you know I love my children? But my children, for all intents and purposes, they're all grown. I'm not daddy anymore. I can't tell my kids what to do. I can't hear for about another 13 hours. But I literally can't tell them what to do anymore. But you know what? My boys and my daughter are my friends. My boys and I are going to go golfing Tuesday while we're in Kentucky. My son Jeff has been bit by the golf bug. I've golfed off and on for 23, 24 years. I'm not a good golfer. But when you compare yourself to somebody that never swung a golf club before, you look pretty good. Amen? My son Jeff has spent $100 in golf lessons. He's been out. He said, I'm going to beat you, Dad. I'm going to beat you. He's doing whatever it takes to beat me. Can I tell you something? I love that. Say why? We're friends. He said, Dad, if I beat you, you still going to love me? I said, I'll love you. I might not like you, but I'll love you. And we've joked back and forth. And we've had a little bit of fun with this thing. My son Josh is going to go with us. He said, I guess I better hit the range. He said, Dad, Jeff's taking this pretty serious. He said, I already know I'm going to lose, but I don't want to look quite so bad. And it's been fun. We're having fun with it. We're going to be, we're friends. You ask my daughter, we're friends. I'm her daddy, but I'm her friend. I'm a friend to my wife. We're not just husband and wife. We're friends. We're entering a new era of life. We haven't had this in 24 years. You say, what is it? No kids. Glory to God. Man, it's been a long time. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. One of my snotty friends across the country said, oh, welcome to the old people's crowd. Nobody at home but you and your wife. Shut up. I'm kind of looking forward to it. But may I say this? You can be part of the family but still be friends. Some of you have family that you're not friends with. Let me ask you a question. How many in the family of God are you part of the family with but you're not friends with them? Okay. Moving on. I went to meddling real quick, didn't I? Number 15, we have fellowship with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Guess what? Not only are you a friend of God, but you get to fellowship with God. Man, I love that. God made you to fellowship with him. Fellowship doesn't mean sit down and eat ice cream and popcorn and play games. Fellowship is a word that is involved with labor. The men that when we got in, went over to Brother Arcola's in Blacksville last week, I think it was it last week? I've lived a lot of life since then, I'm sorry. But we were over there. We fellowshipped all day long. Now, we got a lot of work done, but we were fellowshipping. We were in a common cause. We were in a common goal, and we worked together, and there was some of his folks there, and we fellowshipped with him. It wasn't playtime. It was work time. We even fellowshipped through the stinky air in the van on the way home. And, boy, let me tell you, it was a different aroma coming back than it was going, for sure. God says he made us to fellowship with us. You know, God only not allows us to spend time with him. Listen to this. God wants us to spend time with him. You know, you don't have just access because God allows you to spend time with him. God wants you to spend time with him. I remember being on Brother Heil's staff one day, and I had a question for him. It was of a personal nature. And in one of my meetings, I said, "Preacher, may I stay afterward and ask you a question?" He said, "Sure." So after the meeting was over, he said, "Greg, why don't you come right over here?" So I sat right next to him. I said, "Preacher," I said, "I feel very selfish asking a personal question to you." He said, "Why? You're one of my staff." I said, "But others, they'll stand in line for hours sometimes and then have to wait a week or two or three or four just to get a question to you." He said, "That comes with being a staff man, son." He said, "I want to spend time with you. What you need?" Whew. Now, I'll be honest with you. That's the way it is with God. I not only get to ask him questions, he wants me to ask him questions. He wants me to fellowship with him. By the way, isn't that why he created you? He created you for fellowship. He didn't create you to be a servant. Angels were created for service. They were the servants. God created man for friendship and fellowship. God made you to be one of his friends and to fellowship with you. Boy, that's awesome. Number 16, I gotta hurry. Oh, man. Those of you that didn't get saved till later in life, y'all ought to get ready. Your shouter's about to explode, amen? Number 16, we become new creatures. The word creature there means new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Watch this. "Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." I want you to notice something that we lose on this. Old things are passed away. Can I tell you something? That doesn't mean that it went from this place to that place. When somebody dies, what term do we use? They passed away. Guess what? When you got saved, your old man, your old nature died. And God said, "I'll make you a new creature. I'll make you a new creation, and all that old is dead, and you've got nothing but new ahead of you. Hey, baby, don't let your past catch up to you. It's dead." You see, the old me dies. It passes away. The old life should not haunt you. If you are allowing the old life to haunt you, you're going to the graveyard and digging it up. Quit going to the graveyard and digging up the old man. Let it be and live the new life God gave you. Can I tell you why Christians get discouraged? "Oh, man, I just don't know. My past is just so bad, preacher." It's past. It passed away. It's over. It's dead. Bury it and go on. Matter of fact, don't even put a tombstone on it. We become new creatures in Christ. New creations. Say why? Because of that new birth. Because you have a new life and the old man is passed away. Wow. Folks, do you know what you got at salvation? Man, it was more than just getting saved. There is so much that comes with it. I got to hurry. 25 minutes left. Here we go. Number 17. We became sanctified. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Second part of the verse. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, the word sanctify means set apart. Please don't mistake me. This pulpit is made out of wood. Oak. Right, Dad? Okay. Sorry, my dad built my pulpit. And it's made mostly out of oak. Did you know that that's the same oak that some of you have furniture made out of? The oak itself is not sanctified. But that piece of furniture was made for something special. And it's set apart for the preaching of the Word of God. Now, let me say this. That's why I'll be very careful who stands behind this and what they say. Because this is a sanctified piece of wood to preach to God's people, and it needs to be pure. This is not the important thing. What comes across it is. And when you got saved, God set you apart to do a special work. Our charismatic friends, bless their hearts, they got it messed up. Well, you got to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, can I tell you something? When you get saved, you are sanctified and indwelled by the Holy Ghost. They got it mixed up. You don't have to get sanctified. You are sanctified by being saved. Everybody doing all right? Wow, that's good stuff. Did you know that music stand, wherever it is right there, it can be used and you can put good music on it and play it, or you can put filthy, vile, stinking, trashy rock music on it and play it. That one's sanctified. That's why we'll not play weird, wild music on it. That piano right there is sanctified. There are honky-tonks all over the country that have the same piano in their honky-tonk rooms as we have in this church building, but that one's not going to have honky-tonk music on it. Say why? Because it's been set apart for a specific purpose. That doesn't mean every piano just like that is sanctified. But we bought that one for the church, by the church, for God's music, and that's all that's going to be played on it. Say, why? Because it's sanctified. Boy, that's good stuff. You see, we are set apart for a specific purpose. What is that specific purpose? The will of God. You see, God's will is for people to be saved. That means we're supposed to be sanctified to go out and tell others about Him. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When God saved you, He sanctified you to go out and tell others about Him. That's why you're supposed to go out and tell others. That's why you're supposed to go out and bring others in. That's why you're supposed to go out and do the will of God. I told my daughter the other day, I said, "Sweetie, you don't love me. You're leaving." And she knew I was teasing. She said, "I'm glad I got a dad and a mom that taught me not only to do the will of God, but what the will of God is." And by the way, I want her to do the will of God. I do. I want my boys doing the will of God. I've got one that's going to go in the ministry. Got another one's going to be a good layman probably his whole life. You know what? I'm as proud of both of them. My son Jeff isn't going to go into the ministry. I'm happy. He turned down a good job because all it was travel. And I'm talking a good paying job. For a 20-year-old young man, probably $70,000, $80,000 a year job. He said, "Dad, I'd be traveling all the time. I couldn't go to church and I couldn't drive my church van route." He said, "What good is it?" That's hard for a 20-year-old. He said, "I'm supposed to be driving a church van." He said, "God may want me to move back to Martinsburg and work and help pay the bills at your church and help it in your church." He said, "I need to keep my options open." That's a godly young man. Yes, sir. Amen. I'm happy with that. They don't have to be in the ministry to make me happy. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Hang in there. Sanctified, set apart to do the work and will of God. Number 18, and I must hurry. We are ordained to do good works. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Watch this. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I want you to notice something. Good works are for after you get saved, not to get saved. God said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But he said, before you even were created, I created you to do good works after you get saved. It was ordained for you to do before you ever were created, and I want you to do them after you get saved. That's why you can't do good works and get to heaven, because you got to get saved by grace through faith. The good works come after, not before. Boy, that's good stuff. You see, as a new creature, you now have a new spirit that is in you that will help you do good works. Do you know the Holy Spirit will prompt you to do the right thing? Because you're a new creation and you have a new spirit and a live spirit indwelling in you, God can show you what you're supposed to do. By the way, we don't do good works to get saved. You do good works because you're saved. We got too many Christians who expect good works to be done unto them, except instead of them doing them. You're looking for God to do something for you instead of you doing something for God. Can I tell you who the happy people were today? The bus workers and the van workers. They were charged up. I should have brought, I'm not bringing my phone to the pulpit, but Mrs. Lopez, she said, man, am I glad I got a chance to kick the devil right square in the teeth today. I loved it. She had 13 on her van, four or five visitors. One adult lady got saved. She was wound up tighter than a banjo string. Brother Stoltz had three get saved on his bus with a visitor. Hey, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Those of us that have worked hard all week long, we're excited. Say why? Because we were doing something for others. Now, the church service ought to be a blessing. Yes, it should. And Brother Barnes and I were out making visits yesterday, and I was visiting somebody, and they were just a little bit, it was a little bit hard last week when we were in church. And I said to them, I said, you're right, it was. I said, but isn't it a shame 50 years ago everybody preached like that? And the lady went, yeah, you're right. I said, isn't it amazing, the same message, years later, it's hard, and before it was normal? She kind of backtracked a little bit. She said, well, I guess you're right, preacher. I said, I'm not always that mean, just three or four times a month. But you'll get over it. It'll be okay, I promise you. Now, may I say this? Sometimes what good for you... My dad always said spankings were good for me. I never really believed that until I got to be a dad. Then I found out what good they were. Not till I got to college and had to do some things on my own did I find out how good they really were. Now, I didn't enjoy them anymore when I had to give them to my kids, but it was more enjoyable doing that than getting them, that's for sure. Now, wait a minute. Well, my kids hated it. I always told them, look, I didn't disobey, you did. God told me I'm supposed to do this. You're the one that deserves it. Why are you making me do this to you? They hated. My boys would tell Dad, just get through the speech. Just get this thing over with. I don't want to hear it. They hated that part. I love it. Amen. God ordained us to do good works. My office on my wall, beside my desk, if you're sitting behind my desk on the right, if you're sitting on your side of the desk on your left, there's a piece of paper there, and it has written in large letters, ordination. That was my ordination papers that I got back in January of 1991. had to think through that. But in January of 1991, I went back. Brother Hiles called and asked if I wanted to be ordained, and I was in California. And we flew back from California, and I was ordained on a Saturday night. My mom and dad drove over from Ohio to see it, and a lot of our friends were still there. And Brother Hiles ordained me that night into the ministry. Say, what's that mean? We went through a little church service, and he kind of preached it, four or five of us that got ordained that night. And kind of, there's a little symbol there where the men of God laid their hands on our head and prayed for us and set us apart for the ministry for the rest of our lives. And I am an official ordained preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something? That service is a holy time to me. I can't tell you how much it means to me. That piece of paper means so much to me. You can take my college degrees and throw them away. I don't give a flip, but that ordination paper, I'm fighting for the rest of my life. I earned that. I've lived my whole life for that piece of paper. I know each and every one of the men that signed it, that were deacons or trustees there. I know them for years. I would write them and thank them as long as they were still alive. Most of them are in heaven now. Can I tell you something? I was ordained to do the work I'm doing. When I go visit in a jail or I perform a wedding, often I'll have to show a copy of my ordination to prove that I was ordained as a man of God to be able to do that. Unfortunately, nowadays you can go online and get your ordination paper and never do anything, but this one's earned, amen? And you are ordained to do good works because of your salvation. Boy, that's good stuff. Number 19, and I got 14 and a half minutes. Number 19, we get an intercessor. We read in Romans 8 there, a verse that talked about it, but also in Hebrews 7:25, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, the word intercessor means this. He goes to God on our behalf for us. Did you know... You have direct access to God, but there's sometimes you're not even quite sure what to say. And every once in a while, Jesus steps up and says, hey, Father, there's Brother Gus down there. He's trying to ask you this question, and he'll rephrase it to God. And God says, well, sure, give it to him. He becomes our intercessor. He's able to speak on our behalf to the Father for us. For instance, in the book of Job, the Bible says that the devil went to heaven and accused God to Job for the wrong that Job had done. Do you know who was standing beside God the Father and said, God, Job got saved. Job's name's under my blood. It's under the blood. And he didn't say he was falsely accusing Job. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. And while the devil's in heaven accusing God of all the wrong things that you are doing, you got your intercessor standing there saying, God, guess what? It's covered. It's cared for. Don't listen to him. He's just running his mouth. It can't hurt us. You've got an intercessor that is there going to God for you. There are some times that you don't even know what to ask for. And Jesus says, hey, God, they're asking for this, but could we give them a little extra? Could we do this instead? I think it would be a big blessing to them. And God and Jesus work together as our intercessor. He says things that to God that we cannot. Boy, that's good, isn't it? He's your intercessor. Number 20. We get our lives preserved, not pickled. Preserved. All right. Jude verse number 1 says, to them who are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Can I tell you something? When you got saved, your eternity was preserved. It was sealed by the Holy Ghost. I grew up and my mama did lots of canning. And I mean lots of canning. And I mean lots and lots of canning. There's nothing like tomato season and 14,236 quarts of tomatoes. And why it is they come on 100 degree days and you got to run the old fashioned coal packer on the old gas stove, amen? And it's 300,000 degrees standing over that thing. And then you pull them off and you put a towel on the freezer that's next to that thing and leave them out there and wait for about an hour or two. And all of a sudden you start hearing. Say, what's happening? Them puppies are sealing. And they'll stay that way for, you know, a year, two, three, four, five, however long they're going to stay good. Amen. They're preserved. They're sealed. Can I tell you something? When you got saved, the Holy Spirit became the seal. Watch this. And when you got saved in heaven, another jar lid went and you got preserved. Your eternity was preserved forever. Yesterday, I made about 3 pounds of deer jerky for my boys. They said, I'm going to take them some jerky. My daughter's mad I didn't make her any. She's going to have to fight her brothers for that one, amen? But you say, what is jerky? It's preserving meat. You dry it, and you use salts and spices, and you dry it out so that it doesn't rot as quickly. That's all it is. It's dried meat. And it's preserved with the salts and things to keep it much longer. Can I tell you something? When God preserves you, He preserves you forever. You will never go bad. Even Miss K. She was already bad when she got preserved, but she'll be perfect in heaven. Amen. Now, wait a minute. You got preserved. Guess what? That means once you get saved, you can't lose it because you're preserved. And you were sealed by the Holy Ghost of God. Wow. Number 21. I must hurry. Jesus becomes our propitiation. That's a big fancy word. 1 John 2:2 says, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, you say, what is a propitiation? He is the one who wins the goodwill in favor of God and puts us back together. He is the proprietor. He is the one that owns the right to go to God and say, God, I paid for them. You have to accept them back. Some of you have rental. Brother Mark, I think you have a couple rental properties, and Brother Mike and some of you others might. You are the actual proprietor of that property. You know, they hold the legal right as long as they own that property to decide what happens to that property. And if there's a legal dispute, guess what? They're the ones that go to court. And they have the right to dictate the terms by which the leases or rentals are done. Guess what? Jesus holds the lease to your life. He owns it. He has the title. And guess what? When there's a judgment that comes up, He goes to God the Father as the judge and says, I'm the proprietor, I'm their propitiation, and I already cared for it, God. It's done. And God says, throw it out of court. Not going there. Can I tell you something? He is the propitiation for your sins. That means this. Because He paid for it, you can never be charged with it if you're safe. Romans 8 verse 33 said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? In other words, guess what? If you're saved, there is no sin on your charge record. Your credit card with God is clean. And always will be, because Jesus takes care of the balance. Wow. That's good stuff. Number 22. I must hurry. We get Jesus as our advocate / lawyer. 1 John 2:1. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Yes. Folks, Jesus Christ steps up in heaven for you as your legal representative. Can I tell you something? When the devil comes and says, but Craig Bush did wrong right here, my lawyer steps up in my defense and says, Father, I paid for that sin. It's under the blood. Your righteousness has been imputed to his account, and it's not even on his record, because there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And God says to the devil, throw it out of court. There's nothing there. But I saw him. Doesn't matter what you saw. It's already been cared for. Legal team has already proven you're wrong. Next case. Jesus is your legal representation in heaven. Man, I get excited about that. He stands before God and Satan, and he smacks old Smutty Face in the chops every time. By the way, guess what? Jesus never lost a case. Guess what? I've got the best lawyer in history. We, from time to time, I need some legal advice about church work, and there's a company, or not a company, but a group of people we use, and I'll call them from time to time and get some legal advice. Can I tell you something? I don't even have to call Jesus. He stands before me on my behalf, and I don't even know sometimes when he's representing me, and guess what? It's already been paid for. I get it pro bono, amen? Boy, that's good stuff. It came with salvation. It was part of the ticket price. When I got saved, I got a lawyer and don't even have to pay for him. Glory. Can you imagine how good that is? Number 23. We get to take part in the rapture. Whew. Folks, I'm ready for this popsicle stand to blow. Amen. We are getting closer and closer. This old world's getting nastier and nastier and closer. But may I say this? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that ye which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. When you got saved, guess what? You're guaranteed going up in the rapture. Can I tell you something? That ought to be an encouragement, not a discouragement to you. Man, I am so excited. I want the rapture to happen. You say, why? Because we get to go to heaven and leave this world behind. But can I tell you something? The only way you do that is if you get saved. Some of you that are afraid of heights, amen, Brother Gus, you won't be at the rapture. That fear will be gone. Brother Gus doesn't like standing on anything higher than a chair, and even that, he's sweating harder, amen? Can I tell you something? You don't have to worry about heights. You don't have to worry about falling. There has to be no fear of flying, because you will be saved, sanctified, and you're going up with Jesus, and he ain't going to let you fall. Boy, that's good stuff. Not good grammar, but it's good preaching. Amen. Number 24, and I have 3 minutes. We get glorified. Romans chapter 8, verse number 30, in whom he justified, them he also glorified. In whom he justified, he also glorified. God gives us the honor or the dignity in spite of our sin. Did you know that to get glorified, God elevates you to a level in spite of your sin because you got saved? You know, I've not always made my dad proud. I've made mistakes. But he's always allowed me to have my dignity. It's okay, son. We all make mistakes. Let's fix it. Let's go on. That's what God does with you. You go to God and say, God, I blew it. He said, it's okay. It's already cared for. It's under the blood. Let's go on. We'll fix it. Might have some fallout. Just because you made a bad decision, you might have to fix it. That doesn't mean it's gone, but guess what? I'll give you your dignity. Boy, that's good stuff. Salvation brings us back to a respectful standing with God. By the way, you don't get it till you get saved. Mr. Trump is running for president. I'm not pushing for Mr. Trump. I don't think it's a good choice. But may I say this? He thinks because he's made a lot of money that he's earned the right to be president. Earning a lot of money means you know how to make money. It doesn't mean you know how to run a country. You don't run a country like you run a business. Now, we need somebody that understands business. Yes, we do. But we don't need just a businessman. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang in there. We need glorified. Can I tell you something? God allows you your dignity. Boy, number 25, and I'm done. We get direct access to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. By him, that's Jesus, we have access by the Spirit to the Father. Can I tell you something? When you talk to God, you don't have to talk to the different Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but you can. Some idiot once said, well, if you believe in that, you believe you have three gods. You're an idiot. My daughter knows me as dad. She also knows me as pastor. Everybody doing okay? Same person, two different positions. There's times she'll come to me and say, Daddy. And there's other times she'll come to me and say, Dad, can I talk to you as my preacher for a second? That means I have to change roles. Everybody doing all right? God is the same God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I am my dad's son. I'm also his pastor. I'm also a father to my daughter. I hold different positions, same person. God's the same way. He's just able to separate them and do different works with each one. Boy, that's good stuff. But when you got saved, you got access to all three. You don't need a priest. You don't need a pope on a rope. I'm sorry. You don't need St. Christopher, St. Michael, or a holy cow. Amen. You don't even need Mother Mary. She can't get you any closer to God because when Jesus died, the veil in the temple was ripped from top to bottom and gave you direct access to God by Jesus through the Spirit to the Father. And you have access to all that God is by salvation. I don't need a priest. I don't need a pope. I don't need a confessional booth. I don't need Mama Mary. I don't need St. Margaret, St. Michael, or St. whoever. I don't need, I don't even know the pope's name. Doesn't matter. I don't need a guy with a $500,000 grapefruit on his head. Amen. I don't need to pray through. I don't need to flop on the floor and have tongues, what they call tongues, that they get wrong scripturally anyway. I don't need any of that. I have direct access to God the Father through the Son by the Spirit. And it all comes by the Word of God. Folks, can I tell you something? When your ticket was punched for salvation, you got more than you knew you got. There's more than that. It's more than I could put into two sermons. Trust me. I figured 25 things were enough to get you excited about being saved. Can I tell you the greatest thing in all this? We get to take it to other people and show them how to get saved. And they can get the same thing. They can get the same thing. Every sinner that bows their head and gets saved, those three little children that bowed and got saved in junior church, that adult lady that got saved here in our church service and here this morning, all four of those people came in today lost on their way to hell. They walked out on their way to heaven, but they got more than they knew they got on their ticket. They're going to learn about it. The more they come to church, the more they'll learn. But can I tell you something? Man, it's like a cruise. Or as a friend of mine would say, like a blind dog in a meat house. Here we go. Good night. You got so much you don't even know what you've got. Let's just enjoy our salvation and take it everywhere. Hey, by the way, why are we so afraid of the lost world? They got nothing. We got it all. They ought to be intimidated by us, not us intimidated by them. You're a little weird. No, you're dying and going to hell. You're weird. Man, look what we got. I got it all. And let's take it to everybody we can take it to. Let's bring everybody to it. And let's teach everybody about it that we can. Amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you have been discouraged in your Christian life. I'm here to tell you, there's nothing to be discouraged about. Some of you ought to come to this altar and thank God for your salvation and all that came with it. And some of you better start enjoying your salvation a little bit.